The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change? Hello, everybody. Welcome. You might be listening live here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW, anywhere around the world on transformationtalkradio.com, or on Facebook Live on my professional page. Or you might be listening after the fact on my YouTube channel. Please subscribe if you haven't already subscribed, or on one of the dozens of podcasts that stands up. But whenever and wherever you're joining us from today, we're grateful to have you here. And I think we've got a very important conversation coming up, particularly because this is the beginning of the new year. But before I introduce our guest, I want to say hello to the people behind the technology. First of all, Jacob at TTR, good morning.
Good morning, Christine. How are we today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I understand we may have some sunshine heading our way.
Oh, I hope so. It's been a little gloomy this week.
It has been. It's been gloomy here the last several decades, this time of year. And hello, Mr. Benny Mathers at KKNW.
Hi, Christine. Yeah, it's partly sunny skies here where I'm at, and loving to see it for a Friday.
Yes, yes. And, you know, our guest today is somebody who's been on the show before, Leanne Vanier. She is an Eastern medicine physician. She's an engineer. She's an award-winning inventor. She's an expert in the science of light therapy, and she's a healer. And so you put it all together and you get an amazing human being. And she's also somebody who's awake right now, who has been taking this sort of bird's eye perspective, which I so appreciate, and looking at what is transpiring right now on our planet and how things are shifting. And because the world is shifting, she wants to help you shift as well. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Leanne Vanier. Hey, Leanne.
Hey, Christine, thank you for having me. Always so much fun to talk with you on your show. Share all kinds of fun information, helpful information.
And, you know, Leanne, I so appreciate the fact that, first of all, you're not just pigeonholed into one narrow area of focus, because I think at this point, those people who are only seeing the myopic perspective are missing the global perspective. And I don't mean just global in terms around the world, but more like the holistic of what is going on right now. Can you please share with our listeners and viewers your perspective on what's unfolding right now?
Okay. That could take a few hours, but soundbite, there's a big transformation going on with humanity right now. Ultimately, I believe that it's going to be for the good, but we've got some bumpy roads ahead of us, and we're experiencing things with the current situation with our we didn't come up with code words for this one, with the global thing that's going around, which is being utilized by the powers that be in a lot of higher up powers that be that we're not necessarily, most people aren't aware of, to make some big changes to what's going on the planet and to try to enforce some changes that are not at all in humanity's best interest. So there are a lot of people that are awake that are, you know, battling against this and trying to help other people to wake up to what is really going on in big picture, instead of getting mired in the fine minute details of what's going on, you know, in your local community only, and looking at big picture and how the things that are being trying to be enforced are gradually stripping away our human rights and not in our best interest. So waking up more people is important, although there are millions of us, millions and millions of us that are awake. So as to what's going on. So,
and it's been an awakening and rather jarring ride for myself as I've awakened more and more. And like, you know, I thought I was fairly awake. And over the last 2 years, it's been mind-blowing. And I'm sure that my mind is going to continue to be blown. But one of the things that I've been frustrated by is people aren't swayed by information alone, at least not a lot of people. And in fact, Danny Drubin saw a presentation of his once upon a time, and he said that only 10% of people can be swayed by information alone. So here I am, the statistician. I know you're a scientist too. And it's like, well, here's the information. Here's the medical information. Here's the financial information. Like you present the information to people. And for most people, it's not enough to wake them up.
Right.
What approach can we take to help people to wake up if they aren't swayed by information alone?
Well, that's a good point, because one of the things that I did, I'm the one that validated the science of light therapy for the masses in the medical community starting 16 years ago. I mean, I didn't invent light therapy. It's been around for literally millennia, but nobody was giving it any credence because we've been so conditioned to believe that we're a bunch of pieces and parts in chemistry, and the way that you manipulate or fix the chemistry in our bodies is to manipulate it with drugs and pharmaceuticals or supplements or whatever. But sure. So anyway, when I started teaching about the science of light therapy, and really I was motivated, I wanted to teach people about the importance of getting more sunshine, because everybody had been conditioned to believe that, oh no, I can't get sunshine, it's going to kill me. But anyway, what I knew, because coming from an engineering background, when you talk to engineers, they're very left brain logical. They think in black or white, very linearly. They're not in tune with that intuitive side. So you have to make all discussions, arguments, very left brain to get them to even pay attention. So because of the fact that I knew that I wanted to address people that were not awake to these other, you know, the right brain, intuitive, emotional side, I presented my data in very scientific terms and backed it up with all kinds of science and research, and also connected the dots between disparate fields of study, not just here's a research study, because research studies had been out for, you know, like decades at that point. It wasn't new research. But I also knew that whenever you want to shift a paradigm or shift a way of thinking for somebody, you can't just say, hey, read this research study and this will tell you everything you need to know. And then they won't just take it at face value. You have to present things from a right brain, emotional, I feel it kind of experiential point of view. So presenting just left brain logical stuff will get rejected, you know, by both the predominantly left brain people as well as, and definitely by the emotional people that are in fight or flight. They're like, ah, data, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's like, this is what I'm experiencing. So you have to address both sides of that so that you can connect the both the hemispheres of the brain, essentially. But and otherwise you can't bring people over to a new way of thinking. So when I was teaching about the science of light therapy, I also taught about, here, the color and light are synonymous. Everything, every time you see light, there's color within it. And when you see color, it's because there's light illuminating it. And all the information about sunshine emitting all these different spectral colors and showing a rainbow, but then also showing images of my paintings and the color field paintings. My cat is like trying to walk on my desk. And how people feel when they look at certain colors. So why do we use red for stop signs and stoplights and warning labels and anything that could be potentially deadly? So connecting all of these disparate fields of study to like, oh yeah, you're right. You know, I never really thought about it, but red gets my attention. Why is red used in all fast food logos? So things like that. So connecting it with real world experience that they could already relate to, but they'd never thought of it in those terms. And then bringing in the science to explain what those experiences mean and why they're universal. So in this case, you know, and I never really thought about, I mean, other than the fact we have, you know, the two Telegram groups that I run that you participate actively in, that we're presenting a lot of left brain scientific information, as well as experiential, emotional, you know, this is what people are really experiencing when they get these things, you know, not the least of which is dropping dead. But what I think is starting to hit home for a lot of people in that emotional side is like, oh, I know somebody who died, or I know somebody who had, because it's spreading more and more. So more and more people are having that direct experience, which is what I think is waking up a lot of people, as well as the fact that it's now become incessant, you know, one, you know, thing in the arm after another, and then you're going to need another one and another one, and people are hitting their breaking point, but they're getting a little bit fed up. And you mean I still have to wear this muzzle, and I still have to distance, and I still have to stay home, and I still have to, you know, protect grandma because I could still infect grandma. So I think people are hitting their breaking point, but that's coming about naturally just from, you know, saturation and them, you know, but the thing about the frog in the boiling water, a lot of times you can drag people along, and this has been done for millennia. You can bring people along, bring them to a certain point, and then, okay, we're going to do this, and then everything's going to be cool, and then you'll be fine. Then we go back to normal, and then they're like, oh, okay, we'll do it. They get there, and then they're like, okay, well, just one more thing, you know, now we have to do this. And this is all for everybody else. You know, it's not for you. So you're helping humanity, and you're helping your neighbor and grandma and all that stuff. So they drag people along like this gradually, you know, the frog in the boiling water. You don't even realize how far you've gone in it, you know, 2 years, where, like, you know, 2 years ago, they tried to push these things and people would be like, what the heck are you thinking? Like, no, heck no. But anyway, so that was a long-winded answer to your question.
and I think about how, the tribalism in our culture and in our world has been fed, and, you know, it's like the flames have been fanned so that the tribalism is stronger, so mm-hmm. that people respond more dramatically towards those in the other tribe. And, you know, this world was already tribal enough as it is.
Right.
So yeah. It's gotten to be even more significant. And so one of the things in my own personal process, like having come from being a statistician in medical research, I thought, oh gosh, you know, I've had input on more than 100 studies done across the United States. I've co-authored articles in medical journals. If I can take a look and see which studies were done well, what the data means, what they can say about the data, what they can't say, I thought, if I just give people the information, that will be enough. And I've been so very surprised at how many people I've triggered with just the most minor thing. So mm-hmm. for me, it's been more a matter of I'm witnessing what's going on, and I'm standing beside people, even if they don't want to hear what I have to say, I won't say anything, but I'm here to support them. And one of the things that's become clear to me is that over the next couple of years, people's belief systems are going to be blown wide open. And mm-hmm. it's the sort of thing where we have to be, if we're here to help heal the world, we have to be willing to be there to support people as they wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. And creating more divisiveness isn't helpful because, you know, the powers that be, I mean, you know, again, something that's a tactic that's been used for millennia is divide and conquer. All you have to do is get the people fighting amongst themselves, and then they can just swoop in and, you know, issue all these mandates. I mean, you know, after 9/11, that's how, you know, all these things got snuck in to the system, and, you know, the Patriot Act and all these other things that, oh, they're for your best interest. They're for to protect the citizens. So all of these things that are not in our best interest, but when people are in that fight or flight, very, you know, like agitated mode, they're like, I'm just thinking about survival, and like somebody's going to try to kill me, somebody's wanting to attack me. And so you keep them in that agitated state, and it's very easy to do that. But like you said, we need to be like a support network. So the people that are waking up, it's not about, you know, like create more divisiveness, you know, welcome people in. But what I've been telling people is like, you know what, people are going to wake up when they're ready to wake up. There's no point in like expending all your energy and getting frustrated and angry about the fact that they're not seeing the reality that you see, because that just weakens your energy system. So I've been focusing on helping people that are awake, that, you know, informing communities and networking and connecting with each other, because we're going to need that. And we need to be able to rely on and support each other and not be getting mired and caught up in all this drama that is continuing to be blasted down on us, you know, more drama. It's like, it's this incessant thing. So being able to disconnect from that and just say, you know what, your drama, I've got my thing, and I'm focusing on moving forward in the best way that, you know, works for me, for my family, for my network, for my community, and the people that are like-minded. Don't let all your energy get expended by that drama, because it's literally like a siphon. If you think of yourself as a car and your gas tank that has life force energy, every time you get caught up in one of those drama things, and every time you get, I'm freaking out, it's literally siphoning off that life force energy. If you have an argument with somebody, you get frustrated because a family member can't see what you can see. If you get, you know, angry because of what's going on, it's literally weakening you every time you get caught up in that. So be aware, be informed. It's important to be informed, very important right now, but don't get caught up in it. Don't get emotional about it. Just think, okay, you know, if you think in terms of bigger picture, this is raising the level of, you know, the vibrational level for humanity. There are a lot of people that are coming up and, you know, moving upwards, and it's going to be for the ultimate good. But as many things, when we go through metamorphosis, just like a butterfly, you know, the butterfly that comes out of the cocoon has to really, you know, use a huge amount of energy to get out of that cocoon. But if you try to speed up the process, like if the human goes along and says, oh my God, this poor monarch butterfly is like struggling to get out of the cocoon, I'm going to help it. And you open up the cocoon for the butterfly, that butterfly will shrivel up and die. Because that is part of the process. It's part of the formation process, part of the way that it strengthens its wings and fully develops. So it has to go through that struggle in order to get to that next level, in order to become the butterfly. So we're in the cocoon. Yeah.
and in that, with that analogy, there are ways in which it's just at the caterpillar stage that's devolving into mush before turning into the butterfly. So
yeah, there's some of that going on simultaneously.
Yeah, so it's messy, and it's a part of a process towards the next stage of our evolution, which is so important. So one of the things I think is troubling some people is that there have been restrictions saying you need to do this in order to have a job. And, you know, that's sort of in transition right now because of some, you know, court rulings, and yet it's really not completely decided. But I think that when people are making this choice to go ahead and do it because their job's requiring it, they're not thinking in terms of long-term job stability, because one of the things that's become clear to me is in many cases, some of these jobs are just going to disappear. Some of these companies are going to disappear. There's this whole structure that is devolving or shifting. So that, like, I really think it's important not to let your fear point you in the direction of where you're going, but also you should trust your own inner guidance, because you're going to be supported by the universe.
Yes, exactly. So with so many people getting caught up in the minutiae, like, oh my God, my job is making me get this thing and I don't want to get this thing, but then I'm going to lose my job. It's like, it's a job. It's a job compared to the rest of your life. So people get very caught up in thinking, this is the only job I can do. It's the only job I can have. I can't lose nothing. What else could I do with, you know, if I lose my job, what am I going to do? And I've got bills, and they get freaked out in that, you know, fight or flight. It's basic survival instinct. You know, I'm going to lose my source of income. So they're not able to see that they have limitless possibilities in front of them. And when, so this is one thing that I've been seeing myself, you know, personally in my own life, where when you're putting out the energy, the frequency, the vibration of that, you know, like, okay, everything I'm taking care of, everything will work out fine. And you, all you have to do is think, what is it that I want? Well, I want to be, you know, in a situation where I can make money and love what I'm doing and help people and not be oppressed and not be, you know, basically have an overlord, you know, boss that's telling me what to do with my own personal physical body and the rest of my life, you know, making right. decisions for me. So creating, but thinking in terms of the positive, what it is that you want, and then you start, you know, just holding that thought, and then you start broadcasting that and, you know, forming community and being with like-minded individuals. So what you'll see is that all of a sudden you'll start attracting all these people that are like, oh my God, you know, I didn't know you were the same way, but now let's talk about it. So I'm like, pretty much everybody that I'm meeting these days is like-minded when I meet them in person. Like, it's just because that's the vibration that you're putting up. They're attracted to that frequency because you're resonating at the same frequency, literally. So, but when you get caught up in fight or flight, you can't feel any of that. You can't put out, you're broadcasting the fear. You're broadcasting what you're afraid of happening. And that is then what you are attracting to you, because you're going to attract
absolutely
putting
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Fear is a great attractor of what you don't want.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, go ahead.
So, we really do live in an abundant universe. And I know that it's easy for me to say, because I have abundance in a variety of ways. And it's harder to see when you're living in a situation with lack or restriction, if you're in a bad relationship, if you don't have many friends, if things are financially tight, you don't have a proper home. I mean, there's so many ways in which people can live in lack within this world. Mm-hmm. How do we shift from a place of lack to a place of vibrating in a way to attract abundance?
Well, it's actually a lot easier to do than you would believe, because, and I've taught people this for literally decades, every time you have a fearful thought, like, what happens if, or like, oh my God, how am I going to pay my bills? It's an exercise. And the more you practice it, it's like exercising a muscle. The more you do it, the stronger it gets. So every time you have one of those negative thoughts, because we can only be broadcasting one thought at a time. So if you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose my job. And if I don't do this, it's like, so you replace it, you swap it out with, okay, wipe the chalkboard. I have a wonderful job. You replace it with whatever it is that you want to manifest. So in the first person affirmative, and it sounds very simple, but it is, it has to be first person. I, as though it already exists, have a wonderful job. I have a community of, you know, wonderful friends who think like I do, and, you know, like, or whatever it is that you want. I have limitless source of income. I have abundance in my life. Whatever words work for you, but as though it already exists, not I wish for, or I hope that I'll have, or I'm going to, it's not conditional. It's not future tense. It's as though it exists now. Then you're reprogramming your unconscious mind. You're telling it, oh, okay. You know, your unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between, it's like, I'm terrified that I'm going to lose my job, or I live a life of abundance and I have, you know, all kinds of money at my fingertips. So it's just,
and
like,
I think
okay.
It's really important. I mean, the words are incredibly important, and that reprogramming is essential. And if you want to turbo power it, you engage the emotions. What does it feel like? What does it feel like to have that abundance or have that job where I'm making a difference in the world? Oh, wow. It feels so good. Oh, my goodness. It makes me jump out of bed in the morning and be excited about my life. Or I can work for long hours and feel energized. You know, it's whatever it is. If you can just sort of feel into it and feel the excitement and be honest with yourself. Don't fake it if you really don't feel it or you really don't think it. Because you can't fool the energetics. You know, the energetics are they're paying attention at all times and attracting what it is you're putting out there. Which kitty is that?
This one is Tabitha. So I was going to say, you can get into that feeling state because people are like, I can't even remember what it was like to feel happy or whatever. Uh-huh. But we have things all the time. So if you have some experience in your life or even in the past where it's like, when did you feel really happy or what makes you feel really happy? You know, like hugging my cat or my puppy or whatever, or being with my baby or like my children or whatever it is, or whoever, or an experience when I go to this beach and I feel like in bliss or anything like that, just holding on to bringing up those memories, that changes the whole energy system and the mm-hmm. chemistry in your body. So remembering what that feels like and then go, okay, this is how I live my life every day. I have this, you know, I have this wonderful feeling of abundance and love that I get to experience all day long, every day. And, you know, but so it's really not that hard to come up with something. It's like, what made you feel really, really good? Or what makes you feel really, really good? And you're not, when you're like, you know, like my cat jumping in my lap, so yeah. Adorable. And now she's my lap kitty. She's like, Mom, just
and I think that I think that that's one of the reasons why going through a gratitude list can be so very helpful, because that aligns with you with what you do have or what you are experiencing, mm-hmm. which connects you to the now in a positive way, which is the launching mm-hmm. point, the energetic launching point of every creation is in the yeah. now. And if we're yeah. resisting the now, then we can't go on that launching point to that next stage of our evolution. We're like, because we're just not there, you know?
Yeah, it's very true. That kind of brings to mind something that I repeat over and over again, because I have a community of people, my customers all around the world, for the Rejuvenator, the healing product that I sell just for word of mouth. But and one of the things, so I have a lot of people in the community that have been dealing with life-threatening illnesses or chronic illness or chronic pain or whatever. And so when they come in, most people are like, oh my God, I can't believe like the amazing shifts I'm already experiencing. And they'll be, you know, sharing within the first few days. Every once in a while, we get somebody in there. It's like, you know, I've got this pain and it hasn't moved yet. And it's like, okay, well, what has shifted? Well, I'm sleeping way better and I'm, you know, way more relaxed. I'm not stressed out anymore. It's like, okay, well, focus on those things. Cause you're mm-hmm. right now you're focused on the one thing that you think is supposed to change immediately, but all these other things have already shifted for you. So understand that the healing process happens in the way that it's supposed to happen. So that other thing that you think is like, I need that to happen right now. No, it's coming, but focus mm-hmm. on the things that have already shifted. Put your focus and attention on those. And guess what? That will clear the energetic pathways. So way more energy is going to start flowing freely. And those other shifts are going to happen much more quickly. Because every time you focus on what you don't have, every time you focus on what you're missing, every time you focus on the lack, that's what you're putting out. You're putting out more of that energy. And then you get fixated on that. Just like where when people get a diagnosis from a medical doctor, they're like, here, this is who you are now. This is your diagnosis. And it's by design. It's very clever. Because then people, it's like, and now you're going to have to take this pill for the rest of your life, or you're going to need some surgeries. And eventually it's like, you know, a year from now, you're going to have this happen. And you take these pills and you're going to take them for the rest of your life. And this is who you are now. This is your diagnosis, whatever the diagnosis is, whether it's the C word or, you know, we can't even say that anymore on certain platforms without getting our videos taken down. But, so whatever that diagnosis is, then people are like, okay, I can't tell you how many times I meet people or have talked to people, you know, about health stuff. And they're like, okay, first thing out of their mouth, I have, you know, the C word. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. What's your name? Do you have a name? It's like, oh, well, yeah. But, you know, they don't even think of that. It's like, this is who I am. So getting attached to those diagnoses is just like being attached to that negative energy. And then you're constantly putting that out and you're feeding that negative system. Mm-hmm. So you shift. It's like, I have a healthy body. I have a, you know, I have full life force energy that's circulating through me. And then, you know, like I feel better, like any little thing. It's like, I feel better today. The sun is shining. I went outside and I felt amazing. Focus on that. That's what is in the now. So, and then you get more.
And over the years, I found that, it's not uncommon for somebody to come to me for healing session when they want to heal something in particular. It's the focus. Mm-hmm. It might be migraine headaches. And then after the first session, they find that their terrible foot pain that they've had for more than a decade is gone. Mm-hmm. And yet they still have the headaches. And so it's like, where is the attachment? Where is the resistance to allowing that flow? And I'm not saying that people should be blamed. It's just an empowering thought of where can I let go of attachment or resistance, which keeps that energetic flow from coming in and bringing us back into balance.
Right. And also understanding that there are no mistakes. Everything that you go through, and I always tell people this, every illness, everything that you are dealing with in your physical body is the way that your unconscious mind and your soul can communicate with you. Because it's like, if you're on the wrong path, it's like, it's trying to wake you up. Maybe it'll give you some dreams and you're like, oh, it's just a dream. And then it's like, okay, well, how about I make your shoulder really sore? And now I make it so sore that you can't use the computer anymore. Because is that getting your attention now? So your body, your psyche will communicate with you through having blockages of energy in your physical body that then cause pain, suffering, illness, disease. And then, but it's a wake-up call. It's an opportunity for you to learn from. So it's not a bad thing. But, you know, Western medicine will make you think, oh, it's like your illness, disease. Like now that's who you are forever for the rest of your life. Everything is healable and reversible, but people get attached to that and then they keep going downhill from there. So hanging on to the knowledge and the awareness that we have full sovereignty and full control over our body, our physical body and our energy body and our psyche, we're not victims of our body. Those messages that your body is giving you from your psyche, soul, are for your benefit. So every illness, disease, pain, suffering, or whatever you define it as, they're gifts, they're opportunities for learning and growth. And when you reframe it in that way, you're like, oh, okay, because I can look back, I had, oh my God, so many years of like pain and suffering, and like, but I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now with all the knowledge and full health and everything, able to help so many other people, had I not gone through those very miserable years in some so there was a lot of suffering, but ultimately it's like, oh my God, thank God I had those experiences, because, you know, now I know. And you're able to also recognize when you start to see something happening in your life and you feel, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. This is kind of reminding me of that experience I had, you know, 10 years ago, and I'm feeling that same kind of energy. So you have an opportunity to go, okay, I'm going to go this way instead of that way. You know what I mean? So it's all of that is just a matter of being able to tune in, and that, but the ability to tune in is dependent on the ability to slow down enough to be able to be still and to get those messages instead of being like, you know, because this is what they want. They want you to be like this, where you can't hear anything, where you're not grounded, where you're not stable, where you're not rooted, where you're not, you know, able to make your own decisions, because you're just like being like a yo-yo, being bounced back and forth. And that's how you control people very easily, because you just like keep them, you know, in that fight or flight. And then it's like, oh, okay, come on over here, yo-yo. Now come on over here.
So I think that there are people who are experiencing financial lack right now, a lot of people. You know, right. they say that the unemployment isn't all that high in our country. And yet when people are, they take that statistic based on those who are on unemployment, and those people who did not go for the you know what, who got fired from their jobs, they didn't get unemployment. So there are a lot of people right now who are experiencing true financial lack, or looking at, you know, in a couple more months, they may really need to scramble in order to keep their apartment or keep their home, or, you know, to be able to feed their family. So when somebody is in that situation, what advice do you have for them to kind of navigate their way to financial abundance? Because I know that with you, you've had multiple careers. You know, you worked at Lockheed Martin. You know, as an engineer, you became a very successful artist almost overnight. You know, a light therapy expert. You've navigated from one career to another and experienced abundance in each and every one of them, from my perspective, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What advice do you have to people who are being forced to pivot to a different job or a different career?
Well, first of all, every one of those transitions that I went through, I did not make a conscious decision to do any of them. The only one that I chose consciously was to study engineering at university and then take that path. And that was like the worst path for me. But I learned what I don't want in my life. So I was able to, you know, extricate from myself from that path early on because I realized that life is so short. I want to be in control of my path and my, you know, life choices. I don't want somebody else making that. So when you look at the disparate things that I've done, those were all intuitive messages that I got. Okay, like even, you know, becoming, you know, after leaving my engineering career, becoming an Eastern medicine physician, and then I had a healing practice working with cancer patients. And then that was up in British Columbia. I came back to Austin, Texas. And that was when I started painting, just beginner painting. Because I got so much attention for my paintings, like immediately, these were the paintings that abstract paintings I was creating at home, not during the class. And then I got the message, okay, now it's time to become a professional artist. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be interesting enough for me to be a full-time professional artist because I'm interested in so many different things. But it's like, nope, that was the message. So I'm like, okay, I had already long since learned, don't question my intuition. It doesn't always make logical sense when I get, you know, also like sell all your stuff, leave your engineering career, move to Italy. That didn't make logical sense either, but it's okay. what I need to do. And I was like literally dying before that. So the message was very clear. And I'm like, okay, I made a decision right out of the gate, you know, because there's so much, it's like the whole starving artist thing. And I'm like, I'm not doing the starving artist thing. I just said, I'm rejecting that whole paradigm. If I'm going to do this professional artist thing, I am going to be a very well-paid, highly successful artist. So I just said, I'm a well-paid, highly successful artist. Mm-hmm. Collectors seek me out from all over the place. And that's exactly what started manifesting immediately. I mean, I was getting contacted by curators in Italy to participate in these big international art exhibitions. I was getting art awards. I didn't do anything. I just put that energy out there. I put a little website out in the sea of millions of artworks websites and people weren't finding me. I didn't have any SEO. I didn't know any of that tech stuff. I to this day, I don't do any of that stuff. So you put out that energy and then like people, you know, like vibration people, then they find you, they gravitate towards you. So I had so many opportunities. And the one thing that I did do was like, okay, when I would have countless opportunities, hey, we want to give you this free, you know, $600 booth or this $1,200 booth at this art market. And we just want you to have your paintings there. We're not going to charge you for the booth. And other people are like, you know, trying to get into this market. And I'm like, so I would go, is this in alignment with where I want to go with being the highly paid, highly successful, sought after artist? No. Thank you, but no, thank you. And so it's like people often will be like, okay, well, I had an opportunity. I have to take this opportunity because I don't know when there's going to be another one. You have to be able to discern and you have to do the gut check and go, is this in alignment with where I want to go? Because if it's not, then say thank you, but no, thank you. Because if you take that thing that's not the right thing for you, that means now the opportunity that comes along behind, which you can't take because now you're caught up with this other thing. You're committed to this other thing. And then you don't even know about this other opportunity that was right around the corner. So you have to be able to go, it's like, okay, here's a job for you. I want to give you this job. And you're like, that's not really what I want to do. But oh my God, what if I never get another job and I need to, you know, just no, confident, no, thank you. But I know there's something in alignment with what I am putting out there that's going to come along. So keeping that again, that constant, you know, or it's not easy to be constant at the beginning because it is literally like a muscle that you're exercising. It's like, okay, whatever the job is, like, does that sound fulfilling to me? Yeah, it'll give me a paycheck, but that's not really what I want. So thank you, but no, thank you. And then stay focused on, and you don't have to know exactly what the job is. Just be like, I know that I want to do something where I'm helping other people, or I know I want to do something where I can be outdoors as much as possible, or I want to do something where, you know, you think about what it is that you want, not about, okay, I don't want to be sitting at a desk behind a computer in a cubicle. Okay, well, that's good to be aware of, but also know what it is that you do want. So don't focus on the lack part, what I don't want, focus on the what I do want. And then you will manifest that to do want
and,
part.
And I really do believe that the inspired whims can help us to manifest in a great way. Like, for instance, when I first moved to Washington State decades ago, I had been a statistician and I had left graduate school. Like, I was this close to getting my doctorate, but I was experiencing a health crisis. I wanted to get the heck out of New Jersey. And so, you know, I left and I wasn't sure if I was going to continue to be a statistician. And I went to this SAS users group. It's a statistical package at this building in downtown Seattle. And so I forget how I connected with this woman. She says, oh, will you come with me? I'm like, sure, whatever. And I went and it was kind of like an unremarkable thing, but I really liked the building. I really liked the view. There was a Starbucks downstairs. I thought this, you know, this would be a fun place to work. Well, fast forward about a month, a friend had a neighbor who came across the street and said to her, do you happen to know of any statisticians? And she said, well, actually I do, somebody who just moved here, because we're looking for a statistician, you know, can you connect us? And so where was the job interview and where was the job in that building that I thought, oh, this would be a nice place to work, you know, with a nice view. I ended up with this incredible private office with a beautiful view of the Olympic Mountains and the Space Needle. And it was just because, like, in that moment, it's like, oh, this would be fun. And I thought I was done, but it led me to working in the medical field as a statistician. And there were some things I needed to learn because I'd been working in like engineering, psychology, and, you know, things like that. And so I learned a bunch of that stuff, which has served me over these last few years as I've evaluated what's been going on. So it's really, you know, sometimes those just little whims like, oh, that would be fun, can lead to amazing manifestations.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the other thing is like, be aware when you have those opportunities, but be ready to respond when things come up, you know, like it's, this is kind of another, like, because when you have so many opportunities that are coming to you, it just like triggered that memory where it's like you don't know where opportunities are going to come from. So if somebody comes and approaches you from way over here and you're like, okay, that's not in my mindset where my opportunities should come from, like, or you get a message, I should go to this meeting, even though it's like something, well, no, I really need to be focusing on networking and, you know, meeting people that are in my field or whatever. But it's like something says, no, go to this meeting that's about, I don't know, rafting on the river or something, whatever, you know, like some random thing, whatever. And it's like, oh no, I can't waste my time doing fun stuff like that right now because I need to be like networking and meeting people that can give me a job. Listen to those little things like I said, when you have an opportunity to do something and your intuition is saying, you know, go to that thing, sounds like it'd be fun, you go, because guess what, then you go there and then there's somebody that you meet that you don't like 3 weeks later. It's like maybe you just meet the person at this thing and you don't think about a second thought about it, but then that opportunity comes up. It's like, hey, aren't you looking for a job, blah blah blah, or don't you like doing this, don't you like working with animals, or whatever the thing is, you know.
Or you can it could even be something as minute as overhearing a conversation that gives you an idea. It, you know, sometimes it's not always real subtle navigation.
Or even like you go somewhere and then you see a poster on the wall, it's like, oh, you know, find a website, whatever the thing is. When you get that thing, hey, you should go to, you know, if your unconscious mind saying, hey, you should go to that meeting, it's like, well, no, I've got to go, I've got to focus on these, I've got to be looking on LinkedIn for a job or whatever. No, listen to those messages, go to the thing. You don't know why you're getting that message, but listen to it. Always pay attention to those. I can't tell you how many times, like countless times throughout my life, for many, many years now, where I started listening to those little voices, you know, like even when I was living in Italy, I would get very clear messages like, hey, go to this bookstore. And I would know which bookstore in the center of Florence. I was living outside of Florence, Italy. Go to this bookstore. And I'd be like, okay, I would just like drop everything, get on my scooter, drive to the bookstore. I don't know what I'm looking for. And I just like park and then walk in the door. And then I'm like, okay, go to the right, go down the stairs, go into this room, look on the shelf. And then there's the next thing that I'm going to be studying. It's like, oh, didn't even know this thing existed. And I take out the book, start learning, and then like get completely immersed. That's the next level thing. So that would happen to me repeatedly, but it would be like, go to this bookstore now. Well, no, I'm too busy. You know, I've got to do this. I've got to, you know, like write this thing or what. You can very easily ignore those messages. But when you start listening to them and then following them, and then after the fact go, huh, what was it that I was supposed to learn at that meeting? And then you rewind and you're like, oh, I got that new piece of information. And then like 3 months later, you can go and rewind again and go, that's what led me to this thing and this meeting this person and then going there and then, you know, this other experience. And now ultimately I have the perfect job or the perfect opportunity, or I've created my own business or whatever it is. Yeah. That now you are at this whole new level because you listen to that little voice to go to that meeting or go to that.
And that's so important to listen to that voice. And by the way, for listeners and viewers, I wrote an article years ago that was published, and it's on my website, and it's called Give and Take in the Process of Manifesting. And it's took place over 1 hour of navigating based on inner guidance and what I wanted to manifest. And it's sort of amazing how it unfolded. We'll put the link on the Facebook page and as well as on the YouTube replay video. But yes, it's so important to listen to those little messages. And we need to learn to trust ourselves too, because sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, we think it's just, oh, it's our whims. And those whims or those messages that are kind of like seem kind of out there or unimportant end up being incredibly important.
Right. Yeah. And that's where I was saying, like, don't try to analyze where you get these messages. Well, it's like that isn't in alignment where I think I should be getting what I need right now. So I'm going to reject it because it doesn't fit into my, you know, finite, you know, view of where I'm supposed to be getting connections or whatever it is, whether it's connections for work or opportunities for buying a home or, you know, like whatever the thing is that you're experiencing right now that you're looking to manifest in your life. You'll always have an idea of like, oh, well, I think I'm going to get that from here or there or whatever. So often these things come from left field. Like you can't even imagine, like for me, again, the number of times where it's like, doesn't make logical sense. I'm just going to listen and follow that, you know, like, I don't even know why I'm getting this message. And sometimes, you know, complete about face comes about from what I experience from that. It's like, oh my God, my whole existence has been, I've believed this thing. And now that's all like shaken up. And I realized that what I thought was reality was like an illusion. And now I'm like, and now my eyes are really awake, you know, like me, I'm the same way. It's like, I thought I was really awake for, you know, very long time. You know, I've been teaching people about, you know, big pharma and, you know, what the purpose of, you know, the pharmaceutical industry and all of that is for, like, you know, for decades. But some of the things that I'm learning that I've been learning in the last 2 years are like, whoa, you know, that was like the tip of the iceberg. So,
yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I really want to emphasize here is that because this, the attraction of abundance is initialized by vibration, it's really important who we choose to hang out with. Because if we're, let's say we want a love relationship and all of our friends who are in relationships and who we hang out with are in terrible relationships, or if we really want to manifest financial abundance and all of our friends are focusing on their lack, it's not that you have to be around somebody who has what it is you want to manifest, but you don't want to be around people who think you can't have it or they can't have it, because it's in their vibration and their vibrational field affects your vibrational field. And so it's not only inspiring hope to be around people who vibrate differently, but it does affect your vibration in terms of what you're going to manifest.
Exactly. Yeah. And it does, like, being around low vibration people that are I call them naysayers. You know, it's like, no, that's impossible. I can't do that. This is good. You know, this is what, you know, the cards that I've been dealt, I've got this, I can't get past this. And, you know, whining, complaining, that's all the energy they're constantly putting up. And that's like what to you and other people, that they're like the energy vampires. So they're not to say you have to, like, completely sever ties with those people, but the less you spend time with them, the healthier it is for you, until you get to the point where it's like, okay, this is not affecting me. Because you will get to a point where it's like, you know what, talk to the hand. And like, you get, like, it's like, you're not affecting me anymore. Because when you're not strong enough or able to, like, resist and reflect all of that or deflect it, it literally sucks your energy. And then you go home and you're like, God, why do I always feel exhausted when I'm hanging out with Sally or Bob or whoever? You know, like, I just feel so tired afterwards. It's because they've just sucked all your life force energy through their, you know, whining and complaining, and like, everything is terrible and my life is dark. And then it leaves that kind of like this sludgy coating on you. And you're like, you know, you feel like you need to take a shower, which you do, because that can really, like, wash away that negative, you know, energy field that kind of wants to grab onto you. Go ahead.
Even if they aren't energy vampires, if their belief system is stuck in not being able to attract the right mate or not being able to attract abundance, you know, what abundance in whatever way, including financial abundance, then that too affects you. So you can be around people who aren't the energy vampires who still affect your vibration in a negative way. And you just have to be aware of what people's belief systems are, because there's nothing better than being around somebody who inspires hope, whose belief system affects their vibration in a positive way that's going to affect your vibration.
Right. Well, not everybody is necessarily an energy vampire by definition, where they are unconsciously going out sucking that energy, but they are. If you are vulnerable to that kind of negative low vibration energy, where it's like, you know, Sally's always complaining, you are giving Sally your energy every time you go, oh, poor Sally, you know, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, I know what you mean, and blah, 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 blah. And then you feel exhausted when you leave. So she may not be, like, consciously, because there are people that actually, they thrive on that. They create a lot of drama, and then they get riled up, you know, and they're rife on, you know, social media platforms and places like Reddit, where they just, like, throw something out there, want to get everybody riled up, and then they get all these people riled up, and then they go, you know, they love that. But even when people are stuck in that kind of rut and they're not able to see that they have way more power than they actually do, and you go and you hang out with them and you're like, oh, poor Sally, and it's like, it's still depleting your life force energy. Because, and then you go home and you're like, okay, I'm so tired, I just want to take a nap. Being aware of that and being conscious of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you want to eat some chocolate. Okay, well, have a little bit of chocolate. If it, you know, maybe chocolate isn't a good idea, but something, what would be, because chocolate can't be very good for you, but something that would be, you know, by definition, bad for you. I don't know, like some little vice that you got a little bit. Okay, you know, it's not really going to hurt if you do everything in moderation. So if it feels good to, you know, hang out with Sally a little bit, but then just, you know, maybe one day every 2 weeks kind of thing, where you can, like, moderate it instead of, like, being, okay, I'm going to hang out with Sally or talk to Sally or on the phone every day. And then all of that, you're just giving away that energy. So, but it, being aware of that, being aware of the fact that when you do feel tired after, you know, engaging with an individual or groups of individuals or on certain social media platforms where you read the thread and then you feel like, God, I just, like, you know, or the Nextdoor app is one that's really good for people getting all riled up.
I understand they're owned by Facebook too. By the way, we're running out of time here. I want people to know how they can connect with you.
Oh, connect with me. My website, where I have the Rejuvenator and all the information about and videos and things like that, Science of Light Therapy, catalyticcolor.com, catalyticcolor.com is the best way to find information about all this stuff and, you know, light therapy and color and stuff like that.
And the Rejuvenator is a very powerful healing device. So folks, if you're interested in expanding your healing repertoire, please take a look at her website. Leanne, you know, this has been a great conversation. We could go on for hours.
I know
we've got lots more to talk about. How things are going to shift and how we may end up being like creating new kinds of jobs and all that. But I think that, you know, there's another show coming up. But thank you so much for joining us here today.
Yeah, thank you, Christine.
And I want to thank those of you who joined us for tuning into the show. Please get onto my YouTube channel, Christine Upchurch, and you know, sign up. And then when the videos come and you watch them, please share and like. And thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.